I invite you to take your Bible. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 1? Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. On a plaque marking Abraham Lincoln's birthplace near Hoganville, Kentucky, is recorded this scrap of conversation. "Any news down in the town, Izzy?" "Well, McCain's got to Washington to see Madison sworn in, and old Spellman tells me that Bonaparte fella has captured most of Spain." "What's new out here, neighbor?" "Nothing. Nothing at all, except for a new baby born to Tom Lincoln. Nothing ever happens out here." "Well, we all know whose baby Tom Lincoln was, right? You've heard of him, Abraham Lincoln. One of the greatest presidents that we've ever had. Whether it's a birthday, Hoganville, Kentucky, or Bethlehem, Judea, or even the miracle of your new birth." And by the way, if you know Christ, a miracle has happened in your life. "But these events may not create much of an earthly splash, but those events get the attention of heaven that they deserve. When we think about Christ's first coming, the angelic announcement to shepherds outside of Bethlehem, it was important. And then when we think about what happens when each of us come to Christ as Savior, Luke 15:10 says, Jesus taught this, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Important things get the attention of heaven. Now during this season, we are focused on God's infinite love that ultimately fulfilled redemption's plan on Calvary's cross. But this time of year also reminds us of the faith that is needed to propel redemption's plan forward. This morning we're going to consider the faith of those who turn to Christ. We're going to consider the faith of those who are part of that first Christmas story. But we need to be reminded that God wants to use your faith to continue to keep the message of that story before others. God produced faith in the characters of the Christmas story so that Christ could be born. And you need to see that Christ is working to produce greater faith in you so that the message of redemption is proclaimed to everyone. And then thinking about the theme of our missions emphasis this year, so that all the world may know. So God is growing your faith. He's growing my faith because we have an important part in the Christmas story as well. Now think about that. What's our part? To continue to tell the message. Is your part any less significant than the fact that the shepherds went and told others? What do you think? Is your part any less important than those shepherds in Bethlehem? No. No. In fact, the message of Christmas is not beneficial unless people hear the message of Christmas, right? Okay. So whose job is it to tell? Us. And so this morning, I'd like us to consider the importance of faith in the Christmas message. The importance of faith in the Christmas message. Now let me explain my PowerPoint because some of you will be distracted. Somehow, Joseph, half of him got cut out of that picture. All right? So that's who Mary's looking at. My intentions were good, but technology. Okay. The importance of faith in the Christmas message. Now, does faith matter in God's work of redemption? Absolutely. And we see this through the powerful example of a man who helped shape the Christmas story. He's cut out of the picture. Joseph of Nazareth. And it's important that we just slow down and really meditate on what the Bible tells us about this man and the part that he played. Watch how God grew Joseph's faith. And I love this. Those who God so mightily used, it's not that they were these spiritual giants. But God knew that as he interacted in their life, listen carefully, they would trust him. And you may be doubting how God can use you this morning, but here's the great news. If you'll just trust him, he'll do all the rest. But just trust him. Watch the fruit he'll produce through you, how he will use you. Now, what did God use in Joseph's life to grow his faith that he might use him? Well, first of all, God grew his faith through a failed ancestry. A failed ancestry. Joseph's genealogy is traced in Matthew 1, 1 to 15. You don't have to turn there, but it's there. Matthew represents Jesus as king. And so that genealogy traces Jesus back through David and Judah to Abraham. Remember that God had promised Abraham on three different occasions that through him all nations of the earth would be blessed. Well, here we sit this morning. By the way, representing all kinds of different nationalities. But the world has been blessed through Christ's coming. Yet Joseph, who was of royal lineage, and he knew it, because when it came tax time, he went back to Bethlehem. He knew that he was from David's lineage, that that was where the clan was from, if I can use that expression. So he knew his lineage. I believe that he knew he should have been occupying a throne instead of working as a carpenter. And by the way, he and the rest of Israel knew that the guy who was occupying the throne, Herod, was nothing but a political imposter who got in favor with Rome, and that's why he's there. Now later, what was the thinking in the streets of Nazareth about Jesus when he started his earthly ministry? Well, the Bible tells us. Mark 6:3, the townspeople in Nazareth say this, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. Why were they offended? Well, here's why they were offended. They, in their minds, thought he's made himself to be something he is not. And he's going around and he's teaching and he's trying to make a name for himself. They didn't realize, no, he's God. He deserves to be king. Because he is king, the son of God. All right? And so they're offended at him. Just like you and I would be offended at somebody we think is promoting themselves. By the time of Jesus' birth, Joseph's lineage didn't matter in the minds of most Jews. But it was still the plan of God. Now most of you don't have a pedigree that will turn heads. I don't. The name Asher has nothing to do with the name Asher in the Bible. Okay? The C in my name makes it very German. And there is a trucking company that has our name on the side of the trucks, and I don't even know that part of the clan. Wish they'd send me a check once in a while. But and then there's Asher's chocolate. I'd like to think there's a connection there, but anyway, okay. Most of us don't have a pedigree like that. But Christian, God has you here now so that through your faith you can declare the Christmas message. I'm going to make a statement, but it's true. Your work is just as important as Joseph's was. It is. You're part of the plan too, right? So don't let failure in your past or in your family's past limit your usefulness to God. By the way, don't rest on a godly heritage either. Well, my granddad, my parents, yeah, they may have served the Lord, and you may be worthless to God right now because you won't exercise faith. You need God to grow your faith, and you must live by faith too. The fact that God intends to use you should grow your faith. That's why He's still got you here. Oh yeah, God, those promises apply to those Christians, and yeah, I know that God's using them. Wait a minute. It all applies to you too if you're a child of God. So God grew Joseph's faith despite a failed ancestry. Second, and by the way, that failed ancestry is because David's line would not exercise faith and they kept disobeying and disobeying until there was a king named Jeconiah, and God says, all right, I'm done. And He placed a curse on Jeconiah and said, nobody from your line will ever sit on the throne. But the good news is Mary was also of the lineage of David. And so though that curse was made and they probably had a party in hell, the devil didn't realize that God was going to circumvent that, and through Mary, the king would be born. Born of a virgin. Now, don't get distracted. They don't party in hell. But the reality is, Satan, I think, thought he had won. God's plan was right on track. So second, not only did God grow Joseph's faith despite this failed ancestry, but God grew Joseph's faith through a faithless agony. We're talking about an agony of heart. You're in Luke chapter 1, and I want us to go to verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? He's just told her, you're going to bear the Messiah. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So here we learn that Mary had a visitor to her place, an angel. And notice her response. It's a response of great faith. But how exactly was Mary going to explain all of this to Joseph? She's pregnant. She's engaged. Joseph's not dead. We're not given the details of that conversation, but here's what we do know. Mary was unsuccessful. We can also be sure that our all-knowing God knew that Joseph would not believe Mary. Even though he was a righteous man, any good man would be overwhelmed by this news. Despite Mary's best efforts, and no doubt even her tears, Joseph is not persuaded by her story. This is really hard. The reason he got engaged to her is because he thought she was a pure woman. And I think she probably pled with him, shared with him what happened. But this is too much. Now, Joseph's agony of heart is found back in Matthew 1 and verse 20. Would you go back there with me now? But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The word translated here, he thought on this, is a Greek word with two parts. The two parts are, the first part is upon, and then to think with passion. But it's not just passion, it's the idea of passionate indignation. If you ever had something that you've thought about, and the more you thought about it, the more stirred up you get. If you like to meditate on politics, you've got blood pressure problems. Because the more you think about it, the worse it's going to get. It's going to drive you crazy. The same idea is here. The more Joseph thought about this, how could she? And she's blaming God. The nerve! Joseph was a disappointed and devastated man. Now, this was due in part either to his unlimited knowledge of Scripture or that he wasn't thinking about what he knew of his God. It may be that he was ignorant of some of those prophecies. I don't think so. I think that he just got so worked up that those just kind of got pushed out of his mind. Do you know, as a Christian, you can know truth and things can get bad enough. You can get so stirred up, you don't think biblically. And that's why a response of faith is so important. Just get on your knees, start talking to God, and let him clear your mind. And by the way, while he's clearing your mind, you know what else he'll do? He'll start bringing truth to mind that will turn around your perspective and grow your faith. Now, Joseph should have known Isaiah 7:14 and the mention of a virgin conceiving and bringing forth the Messiah. He should have known that. Now, biblical ignorance is always hurtful. When you experience great disappointment or grief, your faith is going to be tested. The only thing that will renew and strengthen your faith is to see God in His Word. So you'll need to go to biblical truth. That which you know, that which you need to discover, and you need to search until you find it. Because that's what God's going to use to strengthen your faith. Joseph needed a word from the Lord. Although he still loved Mary, he thought that she had made a life-altering decision for both of them. And in his mind, he was now forced to do what he had to do. What did he think he had to do? Go to verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He was going to divorce her. And with a betrothal that the Jewish nation practiced, and they still practice today, that betrothal time, in order to get out of that engagement, you had to divorce. Joseph planned to divorce Mary as the law specified. To me, it's interesting that he did know Deuteronomy 24:1. He knew that part of his Bible. But why didn't he know or remember what the prophets had said about Messiah? Why didn't he know that? His relationship with Mary was about to come to a quick and humiliating end. He was concerned about doing the right thing. And this was the legitimate way to protect his reputation as a righteous man. The only problem, again, was he wasn't thinking all of Scripture. Again, that's a reminder to those of us who are believers. You can know some Scripture that may be giving you more difficulty because you haven't balanced that with all of Scripture. Now, agony of heart is often the result of an absence of faith. In those instances, you need a word from the Lord, and you need to act on what He has said. This week, a sister in Christ who is not in our church, these are friends from another ministry, they were visiting with us, and she shared with Renee and I that her husband, a while back, got fired from a major company. Here's why he got fired. And I know this man. He served as a deacon when I pastored in another church. But here's why this man lost his job. the company has been promoting something that is clearly against Scripture. And right outside of his office, they set up a big display promoting this sinful behavior. Well, he couldn't even see out his window because of this display. So he kept sliding it to the side just so he could see out his window. Well, it looks like the company installed a camera to figure out who kept moving that display. And what it appears is they were just looking for a reason to fire a seasoned employee. Could be age discrimination. We don't know. But here's the reality. When they found out it was him, they fired him. Now, he has a strong Christian testimony. So when this happened and he brought that home from work, his wife, and they were devastated. 27 years with this company. Devastated. And because he has had a good testimony in that place. And so here's what the wife did. Rather than pulling out hair, all right, she remembered the promises of God. In those situations, turned to the Lord. So she set aside a chunk of time to just take this before the Lord, and she prayed and prayed and prayed. Well, guess what? In that time, God used His Word to encourage her heart. Here's what else happened. She finished praying, and her dentist called her. She had been actually doing some job searches, okay, when she found out her husband had been fired. But the dentist called, and the dentist said, I want you to come and be our receptionist. God has put you on my mind, and I just can't get you off my mind. She said, well, I have an appointment for another job interview. He says, come see me first. And so when she went and saw him, she said, no, by the way, my husband's lost his job, so we need benefits. We need. All right, and this was legitimate. He said, whatever your need is, we're going to take care of it. I need you to come work for me. Okay. Does God work that way? Amen. Absolutely. And it strengthened her faith, her husband's faith. And by the way, as my wife and I are listening to this, God's strengthening our faith. Wow. All right. But they agonized with that, just as Joseph agonized with what he was facing. So God grew Joseph's faith despite a failed ancestry, enduring a faithless agony. Now as Joseph brooded over the matter in his mind, God grew his faith a third way. And I love this, through a faithful angel. You're in Matthew 1. Look again at verse 20. As he thought on these things, he's visited by an angel. The angel promises, verse 21, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive, or shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So God grew his faith through a faithful messenger. In verse 21, Jesus is the Greek word Yeshua. It means Savior. Verses 22 and 23 are a reminder from Isaiah 7:14, okay, including the part about a virgin bearing the Messiah. Look at verse 24. And Joseph, being raised from the dead, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Verse 24 is the response to the word of the Lord in the previous verses. On the basis of God's word, through the angel, Joseph makes a decision that will impact his reputation for the rest of time. Here's something we need to stop and consider. Some of you might be thinking, well, Pastor, if the Lord sent an angel to me, that would strengthen my faith. You need to remember, it wasn't the angel. It was the word of the Lord through the angel. Okay. In fact, what does the word angel even mean? Do you know? Not just another group of created beings. Okay. What does the word angel mean? Help me. Messenger. Messenger. With a message from God to share. And that's what happened in Joseph's life. Now there's something else interesting that happens here. Joseph's name means increase. When we see the first Joseph in the Bible, he's born to Jacob and Rachel. And Rachel said this, she named him because God hath taken away my reproach. He's increased me, he's taken away my reproach. Later, God would use Joseph of Nazareth for his faith in taking Mary to be his wife. However, in God's sovereign plan, Joseph of Nazareth, rather than being a reflection of God's increase, though that God used him and blessed him that way, Joseph of Nazareth would be given a reproach. Instead of taking away the reproach, he'd be given a reproach. John 6:42. And they, the Jews of Jesus' day, said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" And what are they really saying? This Jesus, he's a nobody. By the way, his father was a nobody. And then John 8:41, the Pharisees do the deed. Jesus said, speaking to the Pharisees, "You do the deeds of your father." Then said they unto him, now listen to this, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." So not only were they saying, Joseph's a nobody, and so is his son of his, but they're also saying he's an illegitimate nobody. And they're pointing the finger back at Joseph. Wow. For a righteous man, that's devastating. And yet God used the message through the messenger to grow his faith. Joseph didn't need an angel. He needed a word from the Lord. The angel was the messenger. There are discouraged servants of God, perhaps some of you this morning, whose faith needs to be strengthened by a messenger from the Lord. By the way, God may send you an angel. If you know your New Testament, some have entertained angels unaware, right? They're ministering spirits. We don't know how God will choose to strengthen your faith, protect you, encourage you. But here's what's also true. Those sitting around you, if your faith needs to be strengthened, God wants to use those around you to be messengers to strengthen your faith as well. Once again, that's why we're part of God's redemptive plan. If you came in here this morning and your whole thinking is, "I hope this does something for me," your perspective needs to change. We're first of all here to worship God. Secondly, we're here to build up His body. And there are people who are hurting whose faith needs to be strengthened, and God wants to use your faith to strengthen their faith. And their faith to strengthen your faith. And so would you be willing to go to them with a word from the Lord? That means you're going to have to be right with God. You're going to have to be in fellowship with God. You're going to have to know His word. But they need you. By the way, angels never debate the Lord or alter His message. They just go. I think we have some things we can learn from angels. Now, God has called you to be a messenger, primarily so that the gospel, which is the Christmas story, will continue to be proclaimed. God grew Joseph's faith along with Mary's so that their part in His plan of redemption would be carried out. Aren't you glad that it was? God would continue to grow their faith as they obeyed His word. They would go to the temple in obedience to His word to present the Christ child as the law dictated. It would be during that time that they would meet with two other messengers, a man named Simon, a woman named Anna, who had been looking for the promised Messiah. And all of them would have their faith strengthened together by each other. By faith, Joseph would take his family and flee into Egypt with the two-year-old Christ child. By faith, he would move his family back to Nazareth. And the story goes on, but here's what we need to consider. For Joseph, the story ended that fast. Before the Lord starts his earthly ministry, Joseph disappears from the biblical record. I'm looking forward to meeting him in heaven. When did he die? We don't know. By the time Jesus starts his earthly ministry, Mary's a widow. But here's the key to understand. Joseph's part in redemption's story was done. His testimony of faith is complete. But how is your faith this Christmas? I can assure you that God is working to grow your faith despite your ancestry, despite your past. He wants to grow your faith during any agony of your heart. And he'll use his messengers as well in your life. Why? Because he continues to work in your life so you can play a key role in getting out the Christmas message. That's what God's doing. So how's your faith today? Will you let the example of Joseph and how God worked in his life be a challenge to you about your faith? Don't lose heart. And then let God use you to be his faithful messenger when it comes to the gospel message, which is the Christmas story. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for these examples. Joseph, Mary, wise men, shepherds, others who are willing to trust you. And Father, you strengthen their faith that they might be worshipers of you, that they might share the message with others. Lord, that's what you want to do through us. Lord, that we might declare to others that the light has come, that there is hope, and so that those who walk in darkness can see your great light. Now, Father, as we conclude this message this morning, would you help each person here, those joining us by the live stream, would you help us to consider our faith? And Lord, if our faith needs to be strengthened, that we would turn to you, to your word. We need a word from the Lord. And Lord, if our focus is on ourselves, Lord, would you clear our minds to help us understand that you want to use us as your children to help strengthen the faith of others. Lord, if there's anyone here who has never believed on Jesus Christ for salvation, Lord, today would you draw them to yourself and, Lord, help them to turn in faith to you for salvation. Lord, that they not spend another Christmas in darkness, celebrating a birthday but not knowing the one whose birthday we celebrate. Help them to be saved today. And then, Lord, would you use all of us to spread the Christmas story and your gracious plan of redemption. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.